Welcome to a surprise episode of the Digital Distillery Podcast, the show where we take you on a tour of the places, the people, and of course the topics covered at our global digital media events. I know, I said I wouldn't be back here until we were on the ground at an event somewhere in Europe, spooning parfaits in Paris, sipping Weizen in Vienna, or any other number of badly alliterated puns. And while we are mere moments away from announcing the dates of our first events of the year, I can't tell you any more just yet. Only that literal metaphorical mountains of preparations have been going on behind the scenes to organise this monster of an event series and make sure we have the coolest people and places on board. In the meantime, however, I wanted to bring you a topic that's been causing a lot of buzz and general excitement in our ever-shifting industry. One that is deftly shouldering its way to the front of the pack, as it were, and that is, as the more astute listeners will have noticed from the title of today's episode, attention metrics. A cheap trick, I know, but did I get your attention? So, let's jump in and talk a bit about what the term attention metrics actually means. The principle is simple. Attention metrics are essentially the measurement of people's attention when they're consuming, typically watching, an advertisement or some other piece of digital content. And although this is not a new conversation, the specifics around how it actually works and the technology companies can now use to tap into this measurement are really just starting to come to light. Now, some of the benefits of being able to more accurately measure how much of your marketing message is actually being taken in, as opposed to simply measuring clicks or impressions, are obvious. With a better understanding of the effectiveness of your campaign, you can make more informed decisions about what is working and what isn't, and recalibrate accordingly, as well as reduce ad spend waste. But there are other benefits as well, such as being able to better provide transparency with greater media quality control, and even reducing your carbon footprint by publishing fewer, more impactful ads rather than having to use a more scattershot approach. In the past, we've used terms like viewability, which has long been the industry standard measurement. But viewability is not necessarily attention, because just because an ad is technically viewable, it doesn't mean that it's been absorbed and remembered. Think of how, over the years, we've seen pages so jam-packed with nuisance ads that they're all but guaranteed to be ignored. Or the phenomenon of banner blindness where, as users, we become so accustomed to ads being placed in and around the content we actually want that we barely even see them. Here, I think it's important to note that we're talking about metrics, plural, because there isn't just a single model used to measure this oh-so-valuable attention. The IAB, for example, has a model that measures attention per 1,000 impressions. It's simply the percentage of people who looked at an ad multiplied the average time the ad was viewed multiplied by 1,000. Now, this gets the job done and is certainly more effective than the old viewability model, but others in the industry are also developing more in-depth approaches. Companies are cropping up that are already providing specialized attention measurement services, such as the US-based company Adelaide, which has already partnered with big brands such as Coca-Cola, Mars, Microsoft, and American Express. Some established companies are developing their own models internally, such as the Attention Index model that's in development over at Show Heroes. This one digs into several more data points and aims to measure not only straight attention, but also emotional response and relevancy, which in theory gives an even better understanding as to how memorable an ad actually is. For example, how much is the user interacting with the player controls? If somebody pauses an ad to try and discern what random fact their 10-year-old is shouting down from upstairs and then restarts it, that shows that they are more likely to be paying attention. The volume and the clarity of the ad also has a measurable impact, and even the size of the player. Because if you're engaged enough to make an ad full screen, then it's quite likely you're actually watching it. There are other ways as well, even outside the large data collection taken from broad online use. Lab or focus group type tests such as eye tracking or facial coding, like we talked about back in our CTV episode. And businesses are cropping up here as well, specializing in these services, such as one called Lumen, which combines eye tracking technology with predictive analytics to get its results. Whatever model or service is being used, the goal is for an advertiser to understand whether an ad is actually capturing the viewer's attention and that the message is being absorbed by distilling it into the common denominator of seconds of time viewed. With this data, advertisers can then optimize their campaigns and produce less, more effective content, which has an effect not only on an organization's bottom line through less wasted ad spend and labor, but also reduces the amount of CO2 that the campaign produces. More about that in a moment. Okay, so how on earth does measuring attention more effectively have an impact on your carbon footprint? Well, if you weren't aware of how much an impact digital marketing and the internet in general has on carbon emissions, I highly recommend you go and check out our other show, Green About Media, where we really get into explaining a whole range of topics under the heading of digital carbon emissions.
A quarter of global carbon emissions comes from generating electricity. As you might guess, the internet uses quite a great deal of it.
To give you an idea, a study done by 55, link to that paper in the show notes, analysed the digital campaign of a theoretical high-end French perfume brand and calculated the emissions derived from all processes necessary to implement and run it, including creative production, delivery to various online platforms, as well as audience targeting. The data from these activities was then converted into the amount of CO2 generated and with it surmised that a typical digital ad campaign from a single advertiser produces, get this, the equivalent of 160 round-trip flights between Paris and New York, or approximately 323 tons of carbon dioxide. Now, as we said before, high impressions alone are not necessarily an effective goal for campaigns. So if we could all use the information we can receive from attention metrics and produce less, more impactful impressions, there could be a marked reduction in emissions. Some even estimating up to a 50% reduction. However, there are of course limitations, and especially at these early stages. The currently used attention metrics methods generally only measure the short-term attention of a user, without being able to measure the long-term impact that ad had on them. They don't account for any offline advertising, which means advertisers may be at risk of overvaluing their digital efforts and neglecting their analog ones. See our recent digital versus analog episode for more about that one. Another issue is the current lack of standardization, which can make it difficult to compare the relative effectiveness of campaigns. But all this considered, one thing's for sure. This angle of measuring attention rather than just viewability or impressions is only going to get bigger and more important in the coming months and years, and as such, you can expect it to be a pretty big part of the topics covered in our upcoming Digital Distillery events. So that certainly won't be the last that you hear of it. A big thank you as always to everyone who makes this show possible, Dennis Kirshner, Stephanie Leonardi, Christopher Kansky, to name a few. And then there's Nadia Koski, who, as I've teased over the last few episodes, was working on a brand new show of her own on women in leadership. Well, I'm proud and pleased to say that she did it. It's called Women Lead, and it's out right now over on the Digital Distillery Network. And there are already a couple of episodes for you to dive into and hear all about the good, the bad, and the ugly of being a professional woman in the industry. Nadia is joined on the show by her good friend Tiana Madeira, based in the US, and it's a really entertaining and informative show for anyone to listen to, not least young female professionals who want to get ahead and be a leader in their careers. That's it from me, Phil McDowell. Until you hear from me again, probably on the ground in Vienna or Paris, Madrid, maybe, Hamburg, New York.